2, the Discourse on Prayer. John indeed taught you a simple form of prayer. O Father, cleanse us from sin, show us your glory, reveal your love, and let your Spirit sanctify our hearts forevermore. Amen. He taught this prayer that you might have something to teach the multitude. He did not intend that you should use such a set and formal petition as the expression of your own souls in prayer. Prayer is entirely a personal and spontaneous expression of the attitude of the soul toward the Spirit. Prayer should be the communion of sonship and the expression of fellowship. Prayer, when indicted by the Spirit, leads to cooperative spiritual progress. The ideal prayer is a form of spiritual communion which leads to intelligent worship. True praying is the sincere attitude of reaching heavenward for the attainment of your ideals. Prayer is the breath of the soul and should lead you to be persistent in your attempt to ascertain the Father's will. If any one of you has a neighbor, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine on a journey has come to see me, and I have nothing to set before him." And if your neighbor answers, "Trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and the children and I are in bed, therefore I cannot rise and give you bread," you will persist, explaining that your friend hungers, and that you have no food to offer him. I say to you, though your neighbor will not rise and give you bread because he is your friend, yet because of your importunity he will get up and give you as many loaves as you need. If, then, persistence will win favors even from mortal man, how much more will your persistence in the Spirit win the bread of life for you from the willing hands of the Father in heaven? Again I say to you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door of salvation will be opened. Which of you who is a father, if his son asks unwisely, would hesitate to give in accordance with parental wisdom rather than in the terms of the son's faulty petition? If the child needs a loaf, will you give him a stone just because he unwisely asks for it? If your son needs a fish, will you give him a water snake just because it may chance to come up in the net with the fish, and the child foolishly asks for the serpent? If you then, being mortal and finite, know how to answer prayer and give good and appropriate gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit and many additional blessings to those who ask him? Men ought always to pray and not become discouraged. Let me tell you the story of a certain judge who lived in a wicked city. This judge feared not God, nor had respect for man. Now there was a needy widow in that city who came repeatedly to this unjust judge, saying, "Protect me from my adversary." For some time he would not give ear to her, but presently he said to himself, "Though I fear not God, nor have regard for man, yet because this widow ceases not to trouble me, I will vindicate her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming." These stories I tell you to encourage you to persist in praying, and not to intimate that your petitions will change the just and righteous Father above. Your persistence, however, is not to win favor with God, but to change your earth attitude and to enlarge your soul's capacity for spirit receptivity. But when you pray, you exercise so little faith. Genuine faith will remove mountains of material difficulty which may chance to lie in the path of soul expansion and spiritual progress.